portion of the proceeds from this family-friendly professional wrestling event will be donated directly to CFRC's annual funding drive. Tickets are available for $20 and can be bought through iwacanada.ca. The event is scheduled to take place at the Upper Hall of the Spire on 82 Sydenham Street. Doors at 5 p.m., opening bell will be at 5:30. Be sure to check out CFRC.ca and IWACanada.ca for additional event details. We hope to see you there, and we hope you're ready to rock the Spire.
We are Blunt Force Llama.
And you're listening to
CFRC
101.9
FM.
Woo. What's for lunch today?
Alphabet soup.
I made it special.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
It's alphabet soup.
We call it alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup. Because we make it a lot with alphabet-shaped pasta.
The letters are now twice as big.
Whatever's fun, little stars, little letters. Sometimes I will use
alligator, big bear,
snake. Campbell's alphabet soup.
Soup from a can? Disgusting!
We have a very special guest in the studio today.
Hi.
Madison is from Between Friends on CFRC, and she's also here all the way from New Zealand. It's a special episode today because we're going to be kind of bouncing back and forth, two sides of the world, going back between albums from Down Under and albums from up here in Canada. We're going to start it off with a brand new one, one that is exploding with kind of craziness and energy. Madison, what do we have first on the list today?
So first up, we have Cartoon Darkness by Emerald and the Sniffers. This came out, end of October? Yeah, 25th of October. So pretty, pretty new. And I've been loving it.
Emil and the Sniffers, Cartoon Darkness. Here we go. So Madison, were Emil and the Sniffers on your radar before this album, or is this kind of where you first run into them?
I had heard of them a little bit. I'd seen a few videos, interviews, stuff like that, and I'd seen their name pop up on different festivals and things. And I was like, wow, these guys are cool. And they're from Melbourne. And I love Melbourne. I think it's such a cool city, such a cool music scene. But then I had listened to a few of the singles that are on this album. I was like, man, I can't wait for that album to come out. And then when it finally did, it like exceeded all my expectations, which I feel like it sometimes can be a rare thing. But yeah, I just haven't been able to stop having it on repeat. And Amy Taylor, who is the front woman of the band, is just so energetic, so charismatic, and so real, which I feel like we don't see all that much of nowadays.
Yes, I think a comment that I've seen repeated on anything to do with them is that it feels like this band kind of time traveled. Like there's sort of like this really raw, real energy coming out of nowhere. You mentioned that you've been seeing their name around, and their name is something like kind of the first funny thing that you're presented with. Explain this name, Amel and the Sniffers, because this is something you told me about.
Yeah, so it's something that I feel like maybe it's not as commonly known by this name in North America, but Amel and the Sniffers is funny because Amel, like nitrates, like poppers, and the Sniffers. Sometimes people think that that's like her name or something, but that's funny. That kind of
it's
like,
a play on her name.
Yeah, exactly. It's like kind of sets the tone already for like they don't take themselves too seriously. But then even in the lyrics too, there are some lyrics that are like so real. I'm like, whoa, that's what it's like to be alive in 2024.
You mentioned that they're from Melbourne and that Melbourne's kind of like a cool, interesting city. Relate it for my Canadian listeners. Like, what is the vibe coming out of Melbourne with this band?
Yeah, so I would say if you're going to compare it to a Canadian city, if Sydney was Toronto, Melbourne would be like Montreal.
Yeah, sure.
So it's like a very, I don't know, alternative. Like, I'm from Wellington in New Zealand, and everyone says like Melbourne is like the step up from Wellington. It's like a bigger version of Wellington, and people like the same kind of thing. So maybe that's why I feel quite drawn to it. But like music, creativity, that kind of stuff is really valued. And there's a huge, diverse range of musical talent. And they're just one of them, yeah. I see a lot of comments on like different YouTube videos, interviews, performances, of people being like, I've been a punk fan for 50 years, and this is the first time I've felt re-energized in ages. Or like, this is a band I want to see, a new band I want to see.
And speaking of seeing them, when you listen to this, like the only thing that can be on my mind is the live show of this, because like Amy's energy kind of comes through so well. And if you watch any interviews with it, she's clearly the star of the show. And those live shows just look wild and insane.
Yeah, I think what stands out to me the most is her commitment. Like, I've seen performances where it's obviously in a studio or I guess an empty room, and the energy is still the same. Like, she commits to it every time. And I just think that would be such a fun performance to go and see.
The story of this band coming together is something that, like, just reminded me. I mean, it's not specific to Kingston, but just, like, made me think, oh, yes, like, this is a band from a DIY scene that's alive and well, where, like, they were living together and going to gigs all the time and just, like, why don't we start a band? Kind of, like, so natural and so, like, authentic. I don't know if that's, like, a legit word to use here, but...
Yeah, I agree. And also... I realized they were a lot older than I thought they were, like 37, 38, which I guess shows so many bands that everyone's like, they exploded overnight. No, they didn't. Like, they've been doing that for years and like finally are getting their flowers and like getting recognized. But like, I did some research about it, and they've been on the like gig circuit in Melbourne and in Australia for a long time. So it kind of shows their dedication, like sticking with it. And I guess you'll never like, quote unquote, too old to like make it. I feel like everyone thinks that music is like a young people's business, but like you're in it for the long haul.
It makes a lot of sense for a band like this to just be a sort of slowly and carefully like building their hype off of the live show, and then eventually it pays off and they've exploded internationally now with this new album.
Yeah, I think they're also just very unafraid to just do what they want. And I think that's part of the charm of them. Like, they're not pandering to anyone or what anyone wants them to do.
Definitely.
Which is so refreshing, especially in like, I don't know, a lot of music we see nowadays, it's like, oh, what do people want them to do next? But like, they're just kind of doing whatever they want. And you can hear it in the lyrics too.
Yes. Madison, last thoughts on Cartoon Darkness by Amel and the Sniffers?
I just think it's like just a great roller coaster the entire way through, and like starts off with a bang and just kind of takes you on this journey. And I think it's one that you really benefit from listening to in order, top to bottom.
Okay, so for our second album today, we're going to bounce all the way back north on the globe, back to Ottawa, Canada, for a Canadian icon that, you know, like a road trip inescapable, Value Village CD rack inescapable. It's Alanis Morissette with Jagged Little Pill.
And inside out, and you say, how appropriate. I don't want to dissect everything today. I don't mean to pick you apart, you see, but I can't help it. And there I go, jumping before the gunshot has gone off. Slap me with the splintered ruler, and it would knock me to the floor if I wasn't there already. If only I could hunt the hunter. And all I really want is some patience. And all strung out, I'm consumed by the chill of solitary. I'm like Estella, I like to reel it in and then spit it out. I'm frustrated by your apathy, and I am frightened by the corrupted ways of this land. If only I could meet the maker. And I am fascinated by you think about your bills, your ex, your deadlines, or when you think you're gonna die, or did you long for the next distraction? And all I need now is intellectual intercourse, a soul to dig the hole much deeper. And I have no concept of time or further than it is dying. If only I could kill. Some peace, man.
This album came out in 1995, kind of like just before you and I were born. Mm-hmm. And so that primed it up for being just like a constant road trip classic in the car, in mom's headphones all the time. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your experience with this album, because you're kind of like half New Zealand, half Canadian.
Yeah. So my mom's Canadian. And like you're saying, this is like, came out at just the right time.
Yep.
To be like blasted in my house. It was a heavy hitter like in the car. My mom loves this album, and I know that because it was played so often.
Yeah,
the CD was in the car, and then in the house we had got an iPod, which is like big news. And you know those old speakers where you would like plug in,
you put it in, yeah,
and it would always go crazy. And like I was saying to someone literally yesterday, I was like, yeah, in my house there was always music playing. Mm-hmm. And I go to my friend's houses, I'm like, wait, where's the music? Like, what? So this is one of the ones that would always go on, and had such like iconic album art, and it's so easily recognizable from a distance.
Yeah,
even if it may not be to our tastes.
The graphic design on this, yeah, hasn't aged a bit, but this is one where I think when I was really young and music is kind of just barely starting to make an impression on you, the sound of her voice and even like the genre of this is so like distinct and weird. It's like, the song is so memorable. When it comes back on, you know what album this is from.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost, to me, become synonymous with Alanis Morissette, like in general.
Yeah.
Like I will never associate her with any other album other than this one.
I'm broke, but I'm happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy, yeah. I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful, baby. And what it all comes down to is that every man's gotta be fine, fine, fine. 'Cause I've got one hand in my pocket and the other one is giving a high five. I feel drunk, but I'm sober.
Is that ever?
The sound and the voice is like just so interesting and like captivating. Like whenever you listen to one of these songs and whatever she's saying is so like just neat and real, you know?
Yeah. And I like we were saying before with Emil and the Sniffers, it's a similar thing. It's like, it's real. And I feel like that's why it really stands out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I remember like this one we played a lot at the same time as like Tracy Chapman's. Maybe I think it might have been her debut album, but I'm actually not sure. But those two, I remember they would always play kind of around each other. I don't know why. Obviously really different music, but I guess that's what my mom was into.
Well, let's think like thematically about this album though, because that and the Tracy Chapman you're talking about, this album is a lot to me lyrically about sort of like breaking free from a mold and going out to live on your own, and things sometimes don't go right, but that's just okay and you'll be fine. And even the title, like Jagged Little Pill, it's like something that's hard to swallow.
You won the lottery and died the next day. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon 2 minutes too late. And isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's like rain.
I have only recently started being like, oh yeah, like she's Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, to me as a New Zealand like child, I didn't know the difference between like what I was hearing.
She's usually called a Canadian American because I think shortly after this album, or like around the time of this album, she was moving like to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But she like maintains that she's both like, herself, she claims, both being Canadian and American.
Right. When I came here, everyone was like, yeah, Canadian icon. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's so true. And it's funny, when my parents live in Ottawa now, it's like one block from like where her apartment used to be.
Yeah.
And you can see which one was hers because it's like a huge glass window. They're like, yeah, like apparently she bought like the two apartments. So it's like two stories. I was like, whoa. Every time I walk past, it's like big glass window. I'm like, well, Alanis Morissette did that, which is kind of funny. But no, love this album. And yeah, like you're saying, every song is so distinct, yet so different. Like obviously you've got like Ironic and stuff, which is like, will forever be like a classic. But aside from that, there's so many other good ones too.
It's like an album that lasts as well. Even like to this day, you hear people doing like imitations of this sound and like impressions of her voice because it's so neat.
Walking around
is Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill. Final thoughts.
A lot of the messages in it still stand up today as well. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
It'll all work out. We'll sort it out.
Okay, so after talking about Canadian icon Alanis, we have to go back down south to maybe the New Zealand icon of pop music today, Lorde. Madison, tell us about our third and final album of today.
So Lorde's album, Pure Heroine, was their first full-length release. And this album, it was the first time ever I had listened to music, and I was like, whoa, like, they see me. Like, this is what, like, my life is like. This is what it's like to be, like, a New Zealand teenager or, like, tween. And it was just, like, so shocking. I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I really couldn't believe it. And I remember I was a little bit older. Well, not older than I was when I was listening to Alanis Morissette. And I had my own iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on iTunes because I got an iTunes gift voucher for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought the album because before it came out, she had an EP, The Love Club. And that was free to download. And I had listened to that and I loved it. So I was really looking forward to the full-length album coming out. And, like, every single one just, like, tells the truth of, like, what it's like to be grow up in New Zealand. And you feel like no one knows who you are. No one cares what you do. You consume all this media of everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And you hardly ever see any of it about yourself.
Don't you think that it's boring how people talk? Making smart with the words again. Well, I'm bored. Because I'm doing this for the thrill of it, killing it, never not chasing a million things I want. And I am only as young as the minute is, full of it, getting pumped up on the little bright things I bought. But I know they'll never own me. Baby, be the class clown. I'll be the beauty queen in tears. It's a new art form showing people how new we care. We're so happy, even when we're smiling out of fear. Let's go down to the tennis court and talk it up like, yeah. Pretty soon I'll be getting on my first plane. I'll see the veins of my city like they do in space. But my head's filling up fast with the wicked games up in flames. How can I fuck with the fun again when I'm known? And my boys trip me up with their heads again, loving them. Everything's cool when we're all in line for the throne. But I know it's not forever. Baby, be the class clown. I'll be the beauty queen in tears. It's a new art form showing people how new we care. We're so happy, even when we're smiling out of fear. Let's go down to the tennis court and talk it up like, yeah. It looks alright in the pictures. Getting clocks out for the trip, though, isn't it? I'll fall apart with all my heart. That you could watch from your window. You could watch from your window. Baby, be the class clown. I'll be the beauty queen in tears. It's a new art form showing people how little we care. We're so happy, even when we're smiling out of fear. Let's go down to the tennis court and talk it up like, yeah. And talk it up like, yeah. And talk it up like, yeah. Let's go down to the tennis court and talk it up like, yeah. And talk it up like, yeah. And talk it up like, yeah. Let's go down to the tennis court and talk it up like, yeah.
Lorde was one of those things that, like, just hit the radio, like, from out of nowhere, like a bomb. Like, just that song Royals just was the dominant on the radio back in like 2012 and 13.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of neat, like where she just, like you, like we're saying, like just came out of New Zealand and was talking about not being seen. You know, there's the classic like thing of how many maps don't have New Zealand on it and all this kind of thing. And Lord like stuck her flag in the ground and put New Zealand, you know, back on the music map in a way.
Yeah, because of course New Zealand, you had all those big bands like the 80s, mm-hmm. 90s, you know, like Crowded House, Split Ends, The Exponents. But then again, I don't really have that much perspective on how big they were outside of New Zealand because
yeah.
I'm obviously from New Zealand. But then you had like She Had and things like that in the 90s, 2000s. But I don't know. And then I think about Lord, I also think about how she got so much flack at first for being weird.
Yes.
Like, and the way she danced, the way she moved, like the...
The way she dressed.
Exactly. Yep. And everyone was like, oh, she's so emo. She's so weird. Like, cause she's crazy. But I think about that now. I'm like, I feel like in some way she did a bit of legwork like Billie Eilish.
Yes.
And things like that. And yep. even the way she sang, people were like, that's strange. But she mm-hmm. has this incredible vocal range.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, and I'm thinking back on it, she was so young mm-hmm. when that was released. Because at the time, she seemed older, because like, she's older than me, so that yeah. was old. So,
yeah.
But now, she was 19 when that album was released?
Yeah, something like that. But it had been building, like, yeah. you know, it took a while to get to this point of this album.
Good. And I'll never
beyond just New Zealand, like, what is this album about? Because it's also not just about being a teen in New Zealand, but just being a teen. Like,
yeah, it just captures that, like, pull, I think, between yourself, friends, and family.
Yeah.
And it's like that desire to be your own person, but also like this kind of guilt you might feel about, you know, like, it's about, you know, honoring where you came from, your family who supported you, but also this intense desire to break away from it.
It makes me think about myself at this age when you're kind of, right on that line where I'm like staying out too late and like you're texting your parents like, oh, I'll be home soon. But you really just like you have got to stay doing your own thing and, you know, making your own friends. And I also like this album coming out in 2013, like was one of the earlier like steps fully properly into the social media age. And the teen lifestyle of social media is like really the brunt of it. And I think that a lot of stuff on this album is talking about like your real life and your fake life and balancing the two and figuring out who you are. Not only who you feel like you are, but who you show other people that you are as well.
Definitely. And that feeling of like, it sounds so cliche, but like wanting to fit in, but also like, what are you willing to sacrifice to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Like the way you feel about yourself, or like the way your family sees you, or the way your old friends see you, or it's just, I find it so interesting. And I see some of those themes reflected in her newer music too.
Yeah.
Like, in one of the songs on Solar Power, it's like, spend all the evenings you can with the people that raised you.
Yeah.
And then thinking, listen to Pure Heroine again, and you still see those themes. It's like, what's changed? Mm-hmm. And like those, in that like 10-year period, more, give or take, between those two songs being released, or those two records. It's interesting. And I find myself with Lorde as well. I quite often listen to her three albums like in succession, like all in a row.
Because they play off each other like and enhance each other so nicely.
Definitely. She had quite the persona.
Yeah.
I think as well. And it's interesting to see how that's changed too. But this album, it always takes me back to that place of like, you know, at the age where when you're on a road trip, you're still with your parents, but you have your own headphones.
Yeah. It makes me think of the also like common contradiction in mindset of the teenager where you badly want to fit in, but badly want to stand out at the same time. And Lorde has gone through that with her three albums and really strongly on this because she's just so young, like just talking about how it feels to do that.
Yeah. And like, it's that age you want to take risks and you want to like be out with your friends, it's out too late, like you're saying, but if stuff really goes wrong, you still want to call your parents.
Yeah.
Like, can you come pick me up? So it's such an interesting thing, and it always takes me back in time a little bit, I think, as well.
Wait till you're announced. We've not yet lost all our graces. The hounds will stay in chains. We
And the production on this album too is so cool. And I think that that's what made it like stand out. Think about the radio, the pop radio in 2013, and then think about a song like Royals or a song like Team or something like that. It just like, it comes way out of left field and sounds so neat and big. And honestly, like, I don't know if she's like super recaptured this like funky, weird, electronic, dark sound that she had on this. And maybe it's because she's not as, or it's hard to be as brooding as you were at 18, 19 when you're in your 20s. But
yeah. And I think as well, that big gaps between mm-hmm. Releases also speak to that change. Like, they're all so different.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, like at least the last two releases, people hated at first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is so different to what she did before. Mm-hmm. But then it kind of take a few months and it kind of grows on everybody.
It sets in, yeah.
Like, I remember when, I think, was it Greenlight? Maybe it was the first single. It was a single from Melodrama and everyone was like, what is this?
Yeah.
But then you kind of come back around to it. Same with Solar Power.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Pure Heroine still stands out to me. I remember, this is really funny. I was in, I don't know how old I would have been, 11, 12. I had an iPad mini
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to find, did you ever have Pic Collage?
I didn't.
Yeah, it's an app where basically you like can take photos from the internet and like make your own collages. And I used to do that all the time because that was fun. Nice. My little iPad mini.
Yep.
And I really wanted to find a photo of the album cover because I was like, this is going to be so aesthetic. So I Googled Pure Heroine and I forgot the E. And I was like, what is this? yeah, different kind of heroine. But
let's
yeah.
talk about that title, though, of this yeah. album, because it is interesting. Pure Heroine. And the cover of the album is just the title. So it's really just telling you to look at the title. What do you think that this title means, Pure Heroine, with the E on the end?
It kind of embodies, like, okay, anyone can be, like, the, like, hero of your story
mm-hmm.
or heroine, I suppose. If you like decide that they can be, like if she thinks she's 100% like the hero, okay, so can you. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like putting yourself back at the center of whatever narrative you're trying to spin or whoever you're trying to fit in with or not fit in with. It's like, yeah. okay, what do I like? Yeah. What do I want to do?
And I think it is like got to be intentionally playing off that sort of drug thing as well, where it's like there's a sort of hint at something darker or dangerous like going on.
Yeah, definitely. It hints at it, but never outright says it.
Yeah.
But it makes you think of it, which so does the same thing.
You know, there's still sort of like people joke about like, oh, and like when I listen to Ribs by Lorde and yeah. I just imagine myself leaning out the window of the car and like it just like ignites your imagination or your memories like in a good or bad nostalgic way.
Yeah. And I remember having this realization a few years later, like when I was on like TikTok or Musical.ly or whatever it was, and like seeing other teenagers from different countries mm-hmm. reacting that way. And I was like, wait, what? It's ours. No. And then I was like, you know what? No, everyone can share the love. But it's funny, the like protective feeling that I don't know if it's just because it's a smaller place, but feeling like, no, it's ours first.
Mm-hmm.
But no, of course, that's kind of a juvenile way to think about things. But no, the more the merrier.
Okay, last thoughts on Pure Heroine by Lorde.
I think it really influenced the way I'm drawn to music that feels like it relates to me. Like, I don't know, that was really not an eloquent way of saying that, but I mean like it's music that makes you feel
yeah.
and that made me appreciate that kind of music more and made me a bit more discerning perhaps on like what I think is good because I like how it sounds or I think it's good because I like how it makes me feel.
stop smoking all night. Maybe the internet raised us. Or maybe people are jerks.
People are talking.
People are talking, people are talking.